You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. Make a $50 or more first-time deposit and you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our great web content. And you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker. $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO Locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit. At PointsBet, happy Friday, happy 4th of July weekend. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. We've got something fun planned for the end of the show in honor of the 4th of July. We're going to draft our All-American lineup, so that should be a lot of fun. I've also got a lot of news to get to on today's show, but before we get to that, fellas, how are your Fridays going? How is life since we last departed?
It's good. It's the Friday before a 3-day weekend. It's never a bad day.
How about you, Greg? Yeah. Anything eventful happened this morning?
Oh yeah, I was up till 1:30 in the morning cleaning fabric softener off my basement floor. So good times.
Nice. That's lots of fun.
Good times. An entire Costco-sized jug of fabric softener fell somehow, and my basement floor is slanted towards a drain that was covered up when the basement was finished years ago. And so I walked out of my little office to a 20-foot river of fabric softener that,
Good morning. Yeah. Good job.
Good times.
That's
it's
great.
Between cleaning that up for 2 hours and trying to keep two pugs from going and jumping into this river of fabric softener was quite the adventure.
Yeah, so,
yes, let's talk some hockey.
I like the non-existent drain. That's very useful. Hey, you know, yeah, I'm not sure he ain't going to need that.
I'm not sure how that passed home inspection when this house was purchased years ago, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're going to slick through a river of fabric softener is what you're going to do. It's going to be great.
Yes.
All right. So yesterday, if you missed yesterday's show, go back and listen. We had Luke Richardson in studio with us. It was really, really great. And then towards the end of the show, we were kind of wrapping up the conversation. And one of our viewers on YouTube, Tom Quinn, pointed out something Elliot Friedman had said on SiriusXM that morning about an Alex DeBrincat trade offer and refusal from Kyle Davidson. So why don't we give that audio a listen so we get the full context of it. Again, this is Thursday on SiriusXM.
I think there's at least one team that's made a pretty big offer for DeBrincat, which if it's true, it included at least a couple of first rounders, one of them which would have been pretty high. And I heard Chicago wasn't willing to do that. So I'm very curious to see what it's going to take to get DeBrincat out of there.
Okay, so the quote there, at least a couple of first rounders, including one that was pretty high. The fact that Kyle Davidson said no to that is very encouraging to me. He's clearly not looking to move Alex DeBrincat just to move him. But as we've been saying for the last seemingly 6 months about this topic, it's got to be a franchise-altering move. It's got to be something that takes years off the rebuild. And if multiple firsts, including a very high one at least, is not enough, teams are going to get that message that if you want Alex DeBrincat, you're going to have to come really strong and almost offer the Hawks something they can't refuse.
Yeah, and if the deal doesn't come together, the alternative, like we said yesterday, the alternative is you have Alex DeBrincat on your team, and you very likely lock him up for the almost pretty much the rest of his career, and that's nothing wrong with that.
No,
and what's interesting too is as we get closer to the draft, and now we've seen one of the dominoes of this offseason across the league fall with the future of what happens with Kevin Fiala. Now he's going from Minnesota to LA. A lot of teams that were potentially trying to make that kind of deal work that didn't now look at DeBrincat and maybe look a little bit more desperate. And it'll be interesting to see if as we get to this last week coming up to the draft, what offers teams may come to the Blackhawks with, and if it's more than this offer that they reportedly turned down, all the better. You have to look at what you got for Brandon Hagel, two future firsts, two NHL ready players, and you have to say, you know what, it's got to be more than that because Alex DeBrincat is much more of a player than Brandon Hagel is. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, anybody jumping into the Alex DeBrincat sweepstakes can send a hateful, strongly worded email to the Tampa Bay Lightning for that Brandon Hagel trade right now, because they move that bar way higher than it probably should have ever been. And now the Blackhawks are rightfully so going to say, well, this is what I got for Brandon Hagel, and let's look at those numbers. Yeah, what else you got there? Mm-hmm. And Kyle Davidson said more than once, at least twice, on during Luke Richardson's press conference the other day, I'm not going to force anything. Those are his direct words, and that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And if this report from Elliot Friedman is true, and I have no reason to doubt it because, you know, he's the best in the business when it comes to this sort of thing, he's not forcing anything, and that's exactly what I want to see. Two first-round picks and whatever, you know, it doesn't seem like that's going to get it done, and it shouldn't. If it was just the two first picks, yeah, no, you need more. You got to get, as we've talked about it a ton, you got to get one of those top couple of picks this year, plus an elite level prospect that is at least Lucas Reichel or better at this point, that can be on a productive member of this year's team and beyond, and then maybe some other pieces that are good for down the road, or a handful of other draft picks. So, sounds good, and, you know, there's no reason to take the very first offer that comes down the pike either. So, again, Davidson is coming off like he's knows, despite this being his first GM job, he kind of knows what he's doing, and that's a little worrisome for the wrong reasons for Blackhawk fans, because they're just so used to the other way, where it's just like, we're just going to do things just for the sake of doing things, or at least that's how it appeared. And now we got a guy that knows exactly what he wants, and if he doesn't get it, he's moving on. We saw it with Calvin DeHaan last year.
Yep.
I need at least this. I'm not getting this. I don't need to make the trade. I'm moving on. So that's a good quality to have in your general manager, especially one who's doing this for the first time.
Well, I know that not everybody listens to every episode, and we'll forgive you for that. We know it's 5 days a week is a big commitment, but we're always there when you need
What's
us.
What's your problem?
and we appreciate when you do listen. So I think some of that nuance of the conversation can get lost from time to time, where people that don't do this every day or cover the Hawks for a living, or even as a very, very close hobby, you know, if we're talking about like your generic sports talk radio host or a sports commenter from the newspaper, whatever, is like, why would they trade Alex DeBrincat? That's stupid. He's good. It's not, no one is just saying to trade him. It is about maximizing the return. You're going to get a huge, huge return for Alex DeBrincat. And like we've said, something that shortens the rebuild. And yeah, he scores 40 goals, but what if you get, you know, two 30 goal scorers and a 20 goal scorer in that trade? That's good.
Or a future 80s top more than 40. Defenseman or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I was commenting. I was actually talking to George Offen, one of my good friends in media, yesterday about this. And you know, he's like, "Well, 30 goal scorers don't just grow on trees." I go, "Right, but you also need depth to win. You know, you have to get several pieces. And having Alex DeBrincat would be great. And none of us would be pissed if the ultimate goal. You know, if the ultimate result is Alex DeBrincat is a Blackhawk for the next 8 years, sweet." Everyone's very happy with that. But the opportunity exists here to really maximize a huge return and accelerate the rebuild and add organizational prospect depth and picks that you just don't have. And that's the fastest way back to contention.
Right. And just to prove that point about you need depth and you need more than one guy, we've had two 40-goal seasons already from Alex DeBrincat, and neither of those seasons led to a postseason berth. So you need more than Alex DeBrincat. So either you build around him or you use him to get that. The same people that just look at Alex DeBrincat and say, oh, you can't trade him, he's too good, are the same people that look at the Blackhawks' just record and the goals they've allowed the last couple of years and go, well, they're a bad defensive team, so they must draft a bunch of defensemen this year at this draft. I mean, it's just breezing over the headline. It's like sharing an article on social media with just by reading the headline and not reading the article. there's no, as we said yesterday, there's no really wrong answer here. If you're trading DeBrincat for maximum value and taking a year off your rebuild, cool. If you're keeping him here for the next decade and he's continues to be a great player, cool. Like, either of those options are fine with me.
Yep.
And the idea to try to stay competitive to keep DeBrincat, it's like to your point, Greg, like they've had DeBrincat, they've had Taze, they've had Kane, they've had, you know,
Jones and Fleury,
they've had Hagel, you know, Corey Crawford, Robin Leonard, Duncan Keith, yeah. Like, they've had all these guys in the last 5-6 years, and they haven't been to a true postseason. The only reason that they got into the bubble playoffs was because the NHL finagled the rules so that Chicago and Montreal could be involved in it. So, you know, you're worrying about being competitive. That ship is long sailed. Next season, as much as the fans might want the team to be competitive, as much as the players obviously want the team to be competitive, I think the reality is it's not going to be, because this year it was supposed to be competitive. Now, yeah, a change of head coach could make a difference, a change of, you know, just the direction, you know, starting the season with a fresh perspective, a fresh direction for the team, that could make a difference. Yes, that could make a difference, you know, in the locker room, off the ice, whatever. But I really don't see this team being competitive enough, even with Alex DeBrincat, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, whatever, you know, you want to make the lineup to be. The league is just too far ahead of the Blackhawks where they are now. And the purpose of the rebuild is to speed up the process to catch up to the top teams in the league.
Yep.
And become one of those teams and a perennial team that's in the playoffs, that's a contender. And a team that, you know, you can line up against the Colorados and the Tampa Bays and the Torontos and Vegas and, you know, and all these teams that have been so competitive for the last 5-6 seasons, Boston, like, line up against them and be like, you know what, we got a chance, and not be like, oh, well, this is going to be a long night.
The other thing to remember, and I, you know, we all sort of lost sight of this as the season went on, it wasn't just Seth Jones and Marc-Andre Fleury added to DeBrincat, Kane, Taves, yada, yada, yada this year. It was also Jake McCabe, who was a sought-after free agent. It was also Jujhar Khaira. It was also Tyler Johnson coming in and being here instead of Brent Seabrook. Like, a ton of things were done to try to make this a playoff team this year, and they got off to a disastrous start partly because their coach sucked, partly because they were failing on the ice. It's not 100% Jeremy Calhoun's fault. And you had Brandon Hagel, and you had all these, like, that's why everybody was looking at this team as a playoff team potentially.
And you had DeBrincat's career year.
Yes.
And what did it get you?
It got nothing. You nothing. It got you nothing. So
it got you the
what's
sixth
that definition?
Pick. It got yeah. you the sixth well, pick, Columbus, which you had already pick. Traded away. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
what's
now,
that definition of insanity about doing the same thing over and over and hoping for a different result? It's time to try something different.
Honestly, like, when you look at the impact players added, you almost could not, if you tried, to top what they brought in last summer. A Hall of Fame goalie, a potential Hall of Fame defenseman, a really solid middle pair defenseman, a solid third, fourth line checking center winger. Like, they brought in a ton to solidify that roster and go for it one more time, and it failed miserably. So now Kyle Davidson, like you say, Greg, he has to dig up to get to ground zero because of the wreckage of this thing. The only way forward is a full rebuild. He knows that. We know that. And it's kind of why we're like, if they end up trading to DeBrincat for a killer package, cool. Then do it, because it's going to help out. All right, we have that. I think we've said what we need to say on that topic for today. We'll get back to it on Tuesday, that's for sure. Cap Friendly, our friends at Cap Friendly, remind us that today, July 1st, is the first buyout window. So teams can place players on unconditional waivers for the purposes of buying them out today at 1 p.m. Central. Players with a no-movement clause can skip waivers and go straight to the buyout. A couple other things. Injured players are ineligible. There's no limit to the number of regular buyouts per team. And players with a no-movement clause must first clear unconditional waivers. However, this is a cap-friendly note. Never mind. So, yeah, players without a no-movement clause must first clear unconditional waivers. If you want to kind of mess around with this and see what it would be like for the Hawks or other teams, Cap Friendly has a buyout calculator. You can go play with that. It's really, really fun. That is the greatest resource ever, Cap Friendly. So
Cap Friendly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before the show, and I think the only names we could really come up with as buyout candidates would be Tyler Johnson and Brett Connolly. And personally, I don't really think that it's necessary. You're not in like a big cap crunch. You know, you kind of have to just you need some players that are going to be here, you know, to fill out roster spots.
And I'm pretty sure you have Cap Friendly open. Both of those contracts they end after next season, right?
I'm looking at the bio calculator, but let me look real quick. I can grab a quick.
I think both Johnson and Connolly's deals just go through next season.
Johnson has that's Reese, future Captain Reese. Tyler's is after 2023-24 at $5 million. So he's got two years left on that, and then I got to go find Connolly in the Rockford roster. He is done after this season, $3.5 million.
Yeah,
there's no reason.
But it's
really
buried, so it's right. Not 3.5. It's like 2.7 something.
Connolly could be on the NHL roster this year. You know, depending on what happens, he could be that veteran guy you bring up with these young guys. He was very helpful at Rockford last year. He was like another coach on the ice. He embraced that role of being the veteran guy. Guys raved about. You know who raved about him the most last season? Lucas Reichel. Lucas Reichel loved playing with Brett Connolly. They were on the same line for most. And Connolly was one of their best players all season until he got hurt at the end. But Lucas Reichel glommed on to Brent Connolly during his first year at North America. There's a lot to be said about that. And if Lucas Reichel is going to be a full-time NHLer, and you know, to use a, you know, and that's his, you know, Linus had his blanket. If Lucas Reichel's blanket is Brent Connolly, maybe you put Brent Connolly on the Blackhawks this year and see what happens. But there's no need to buy out either of those guys.
No,
the Blackhawks aren't in salary cap. This isn't 2015. You need to clear
not.
$2 million. Tyler Johnson, we asked Luke Richardson yesterday about having a guy like Tyler Johnson trying to establish a winning culture. That's a guy that came from a winning culture in Tampa Bay. That's not a bad guy to have on your team. And who knows? Maybe Tyler Johnson, you know, is actually healthy this season, something he rarely was last season. And maybe he has, being a more featured guy, he's going to be one of the best players on this team, whether you like that or not. He'll be one of the best players on this team. Maybe he has an unbelievable breakout year, and all of a sudden some contender says, well, I'll take on another $5 million and we'll trade for him at the deadline because he's on fire right now. Whoops.
More fabric softener?
Yeah, more stuff for me to clean up. It's the Al Pomonte needing to talk to my hands that gets me in trouble. But yeah, there's no reason to buy out either of those guys. It's unnecessary.
You'll need the NHL bodies. Like they don't have the amount of young players to bring up to the NHL and be like, here's our future. They don't have that yet, especially at forward. So you'll need Tyler Johnson in the lineup. You'll need probably Brett Connolly in the lineup, whether it's between Rockford and Chicago or just in Chicago. Who knows? But you'll need those guys. And for, you know, a team that's not going to really contend for anything, to have Tyler Johnson who can play all over the lineup in all different situations and, like you mentioned, Greg, like actually be healthy this year, hopefully, like that's great. It's great for him, better for the team.
Hey, you want to find out just for fun what it would be like to buy out Seth Jones?
Oh, my God.
They'd be paying him until 2037-38 if they bought him out.
Oh, my God. Holy smoke.
Yeah, so we won't be doing that. I was just curious, so I hit the calculator.
And that's still less time than the Mets are paying Bobby Bonilla. Yeah,
today's the day. It's Bobby Bonilla Day.
It's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody. That's really exciting. Oh, man. All right, a couple little...
It is weird being July 1st and not having free agency.
I hate it.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
That and trade deadline day are my favorite days of the year and the hockey calendar. Yeah. And... Yeah, now we got to wait till what, the 14th, 13th? It's like
right in the middle of prospect camp. That won't be inconvenient whatsoever.
Or awkward at all.
No, we've got a really, really, really busy 2 weeks ahead of us here on the podcast. Extremely busy.
I got it. I have had a gnat flying around my face since we started the show, and I just caught it with my bare hands.
Whoa.
And it's Mr. Miyagi that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that was a Miyagi move.
Another bit of Hawks news we're going to get to here in a second, but want to remind everybody that the best way to support CHGO, download that PointsBet app, use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Do it now, and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you're also going to get that free CHGO membership, access to our web content, a free CHGO t-shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker, access to our Discord, all that great stuff. It's going to be totally worth it for you to do that. It is a great deal, and the CHGO website is freaking awesome, and you will love it. Reminder that PointsBet is your home for live in-play betting. And what does that mean? I had someone ask me that the other day. It means that as the game's going on, you can bet as it's happening. So instead of locking in your bet, I think the Bears are going to win this game, and I lock it in before the game starts, and then the bet's locked. As the game goes on, you can keep betting things. If the Bears are down a touchdown, you can bet them to come back or lose by two touchdowns or whatever. It's live. It's happening as the game goes on, and it keeps you going in the game while you're watching it. So go do that on the PointsBet app. It's awesome. Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. They've got more live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. And download that PointsBet app. Use the code CHGO when you do. What are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
And another way you can help your friends over here at CHGO and beginning your day with a competitive edge is visiting our friends over at Strava CBD Coffee. As it has helped thousands of people improve their overall wellness and quality of life, Strava delivers delicious, fresh, roasted specialty coffee infused with organic broad-spectrum CBD. The CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits that can help you. You're going to feel alert and focused without all the jitters. You're going to live your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains, plus including CBD in your daily routine. You can even enjoy a more restful sleep and wake up feeling your absolute best. Strava is all about quality. Everything is small batch. It's fresh and it's shipped straight to your door. Strava offers concentrated full spectrum CBD for those looking for a more traditional CBD format with a powerful entourage of effect of benefits. Plus, CHGO listeners can save 25% off their entire purchase just by using the promo code CHGO25 at checkout. That's 25% off your entire order at Strava, Strava, craftcoffee.com by using the promo code CHGO25 at checkout. And if you already love Strava, you can join the Strava Coffee Club and subscribe and save. With Strava, you're in control. Save on your favorite coffees and have them automatically delivered to your home or office on your preferred schedule.
All right, the other bit of little Hawks news we have here, Dario Melendez, who is a sports reporter in Milwaukee, reporting, and a couple people went on to confirm this, the Blackhawks and Wild will play a game in October, most likely the 16th, in Milwaukee at the Five Serve Forum. Hawks and Wild, the Hawks and Wild going to Milwaukee for a game. That should be a lot of fun. And when I think about the first CHGO road trip, that really piques my interest. That could
pre-game
be a
show
lot of
at
fun.
The Brat Stop.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I think it's an interesting move because I don't think the NHL is looking to expand anytime soon. Wisconsin has always been a team that, or a city that, or a, an area that the NHL has been called to move to, but I don't think ever really will, or not in the near future will. So it's interesting to see that they're going to put Minnesota and Chicago in Milwaukee. I think it's going to be considered a Chicago home game. So I wonder how that will work with season ticket members and whatnot. But you know, I tweeted it out yesterday. I worked in Milwaukee for a few years, and from what I know, nothing brings Wisconsin together like teams from Illinois and Minnesota. So it should be a very very well received game. I don't know. It's interesting that the NHL is doing this and not doing it with Nashville. I thought that would have made the most sense because you have the Milwaukee Admirals there. You have a dedicated Predators fan base within Milwaukee, but you also, I mean, you got Wisconsin. You got people from you got people that support Illinois teams in Wisconsin, support Minnesota teams in Wisconsin. It should be fun. Honestly, it should just be a good time. The Pfizer Forum is a great arena. The Deer District around it that they built is fantastic. It's, you know, bars, restaurants, entertainment venues. It's great. So it should be the NHL will probably make it a small spectacle, and it should be a good time.
So when I saw that tweet, I saw a couple people point something out that we need to verify this, that there's some sort of stipulation that the Blackhawks do not want an NHL team like within a certain radius of miles from them.
Yeah.
And that they are technically preventing Milwaukee from getting a hockey team.
That is, I've looked that up before, and
it seems more speculative than anything.
No, the exact details escape me right now, but that is it was Lloyd Pettit wanted to get an NHL team in Milwaukee, and basically the Bradley Center was built to house an NHL team. And in the late 80s, early 90s, when that was being built, it, you know, deal all fell through. And I think there was a geographical restriction brought on by, you know, the former Wirtz ownership group of the Blackhawks.
What?
That, I'll have to look it up and confirm this. But I've, the details escaped me, but yeah, it's something that there was, they didn't want the competition to be so close geographically, something like that. So yeah, the Bradley Center was supposed to house an NHL team eventually and never did.
Interesting. Yeah. Now that you're mentioning that, I writing my book was a bit of a whirlwind. and I know there was something about Pettit in Milwaukee in there. It's interesting. So I wonder if a Green Bay hockey team would be an option. I wonder how far that radius stretches.
That city's only big enough to house one professional team.
Put some ice at Lambeau, play on the tundra.
Yeah, they could all be owners there too.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Rubes. Milwaukee, this should be fun. Milwaukee's a great hockey town. The Admirals have been there forever. I've gone up and covered a few AHL games there when they played at the Panther Arena. I love going up there to those games. It's a passionate fan base. That's why, as you mentioned, Mario, too, I was a little surprised that the Nashville Predators weren't involved in this game, because that's the Milwaukee. They've been the NHL affiliate in Milwaukee for years. I mean, they've been there so long. Guys like Ryan Suter and Shea Weber and Pecorine played in Milwaukee. So it's been a long-time partnership, so I was kind of surprised it wasn't the Predators in the Wild or the Predators in the Blackhawks. I get the Blackhawks being there because you're going to get a lot of people to drive up there. Milwaukee has a lot of Blackhawk fans. So I was kind of surprised it wasn't Blackhawks Predators, but
is it, maybe Minnesota's
it'll be a
the
good time.
Best way they think to fill the arena with fans from both.
Maybe, yeah.
It's going to be interesting Milwaukee fans to cheer for either a team from Illinois or Minnesota.
I mean, you'll have people travel.
Yeah.
But Blackhawk fans will go the 90 hour and 20 minutes. It's a 6 hour drive or 5 hour drive from the Twin Cities. I mean, are you that dedicated to do that for a game in Milwaukee that's like not an outdoor game or something like that? I don't know. We'll see. But it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And some people were like, oh, why are the Blackhawks doing this? Well, this might be something maybe we see couple times a season, maybe, because hey, we're not gonna be selling out many games at the United Center in these next couple years. I know, let's go 75 miles north and have a sellout up there.
Sure. And why not try to grow your fan base? I mean,
absolutely. You know, it's all my. Anytime someone says, "Why are they doing this?" It's like
money,
money, money. It's always money. The answer is always money.
Yeah, that's it. All right, a couple other news and notes we should get to before we get to our all-team USA draft. Detroit has hired Derek Lalonde, the Tampa Bay assistant. We had all talked about that was done very quickly. As soon as they interviewed him, they hired him, which makes me think Steve Yzerman told him, hey, when the season's over, you're my coach. Cool. Rick Tocchet is favored to win the Jets job. Nothing official just yet. If you're listening to this on Monday, it might be by then. Jim Montgomery to Boston looks like a done deal. And Bob Bugner, the San Jose Sharks head coach, and his staff were fired on Friday, which is a really interesting strategy considering the draft is next week and mostly every other team that needs a coach has already hired one.
They don't even have a GM.
What are they doing?
They don't have a GM or a coach 6 days before the NHL draft. Oh, boy. So if you think it's tough to be a Blackhawks fan these days, just maybe since they don't have a GM, we can contact them and take some of their prospects. Be like, yeah, that William Eklund guy, he's no good.
He sucks.
Send him this way.
Trust us. We know Doug Wilson, and we're trying to do right by him. You don't want this guy.
Yes. William Eklund, he ran a terrible hockey rumor site years ago. Send him this way.
Is that still around? E5.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. I don't know. I haven't been on. I never went there to begin with, so. Yeah.
It's no good. All right. Shall we get our draft underway here?
Yes.
All right. So I went to pickerwheel.com and I entered all of our names. So we've got a 3-person wheel and I'm going to spin it. And the first one, you know, we'll do pick order, right? Like number one, number two, number three. All right. Here we go.
Are we going to do a snake draft?
Good question. We should do a snake draft. Yes. I believe that's the correct way to do it.
That's what we did last time.
Yeah. All right. Let's do that. It is spinning. You can hear it spinning. The number one pick goes to Mario.
Yeah. Woo! USA. USA.
It plays a cute little song when it's over, too. So
nice.
Yeah, it's going to sound really great for our audience. All right, now for the number two pick. It's me or Greg underway. Come on. Big money. No whammies. No whammies. No whammies. No whammies. No whammies. Yes, I got the number two pick. All right.
At least we know it wasn't fixed.
No, I did it up on the up and up.
Because Mario and I cannot see this spinning wheel. So if Jay got the first pick, I would immediately call shenanigans.
I was thinking about that. Yeah, maybe I should.
No screen sharing over here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That feature is suddenly turned off. I don't know what happened.
Weird.
All right. We have to have this discussion as we do before every USA-born player draft or conversation. Are we counting Brett Hull? Not born in the USA.
But he played for Team USA.
He played for Team USA, but he was not born here.
He was a U.S. citizen.
He's got the dual citizenship.
So are we allowing Brett Hull?
When you bring up American players on different websites, he is included. I say we include him.
Yeah, I'm fine with including him.
Okay, so when we put this, just to take everyone behind the curtain, it can't say American born. Greatest American hockey players.
American hockey player. Sure.
All right. So I have all of America to select from, and this is a very interesting position to be in. But I think it's very easy because we are the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. We have seen greatness, American greatness, for the past 14, 15 years, however long it's been. And when it's all said and done, when his career is done, he will be considered the greatest American player. There might be someone coming behind him that might take that title in a few years, but when his career is all said and done, he will be the greatest American player to have ever played. First pick overall, Patrick Kane.
All right. You're not going off the board. That's a solid pick. All your reasoning is correct. When his career is over, he will be the greatest American-born player ever until Austin Matthews retires and takes the title from Patrick Kane. So that is my number one pick, Austin Matthews. I'm very glad he is there.
Yes.
All right. Just so everybody knows, we are drafting a lineup. So we're taking a center, two wingers, two defensemen, and a goaltender here.
Starting lineup. Yep.
Jay's got his center taken care of. And now the two guys I wanted most are gone, so now I got to do a little research here. But
two in a row, now though.
Now the draft starts.
Yes. But I get two picks in a row, so I am going to fill out my center position as well right off the bat, and I am going to do it with good old number nine, Mike Modano is Mike my first Modano. Pick at center.
Wow, I thought you were going to go Roenick for sure.
Mike Modano of Mighty Ducks fame.
Yes. No, I you know, Roenick definitely was a choice, but, you know, more goals, more points. I'm going to go for it.
Longevity.
Exactly. And then I'm going to move to the, where to go from here? Man, so many good decisions. I'm going to go to the blue line.
Oh,
I'm gonna have an amazingly offensive lineup here because I'm going to go to the blue line and I'm going to take a former Blackhawk, defenseman Phil Housley with my second pick.
All right.
The all-time leading pointsman for American-born defensemen with 1,232 points in 1,495 games. So, yeah, take that, guys.
All right.
How many games did he play with the Blackhawks? Wasn't it like...
Not a lot.
Not many, no.
Was it a season?
I think it was more than one.
Might have been a season and a half. Stand by. Bringing up those career numbers right now.
I'll draft while you look.
He played 137 games for the Blackhawks. Oh, okay. A season and a half. Almost two full seasons.
He wasn't terrible either. The team was terrible, but he wasn't.
you can say that a lot about that era.
I'm going to take who I think, aside from Patrick Kane, is the greatest American-born player ever. Chris Chelios to solidify my blue line. Just you need the physicality, you need the leadership, you need the entire package, and that's what Chris Chelios brings. I might slap the C on his sweater too, just for funsies.
There you go.
So that's my number two pick, Chris Chelios.
You said package.
I did.
All right, I am going to. I got back to back picks here, so I am going to solidify my starting forwards lineup here. I'm going to go get a center and a wing. I am going to take a pair of Wisconsin natives.
Okay.
One that played at Wisconsin, one that gave the middle finger to Wisconsin and played at Minnesota. I'm going to go with Captain America, Joe Pavelski, and the hot dog eating champion himself, two-time Stanley Cup winner, Phil Kessel.
Oh, right. See, I love that one because he's fat, and so am I. It's my favorite.
And you know what? I passed up on Roenick because I'm just having fun with this draft. It's a fun draft, and that's a fun line.
It's amazing that he is not going to get drafted. That is shocking.
We have got all of our centers done, so yeah, that is pretty crazy.
We are going to infuriate
Twitter. Just like he's not in the Hall of Fame.
All right, I often make the mistake.
Sometimes your post-career comments will cost you later in life.
Yeah, that'll do that.
That happens.
I often lose these drafts because I pick favorites over who I should take, and I'm going to stray from that this time because I'd like to actually win one of these times. So I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take the golden Brett Hull.
There you go.
That's mine.
Alrighty.
There you go. You advocate for him to get into the draft, and then you get to pick him.
For the record, I wanted to exclude him.
Ah.
But since he's there, I'll take him.
That works.
All right. I'm going to go with... I'm going to wrap out my forwards. I'm going to take a couple of wingers. I'm going to take a guy that I think is criminally underrated, but the man won and the man scored wherever he goes. I'm going to go with Joe Mullen.
Good pick.
All right.
And then I'm going to go with a little more. I'm going to go with an active player right now.
Oh.
Get a little flair out there. You got Modano out there that can make you, can score a pass. Joe Mullen's your greedy guy. And that's going to create a lot of room on the ice for Johnny Hockey. Johnny Gaudreau is my other
winger. There you go.
That's a good pick.
That is a good pick.
All right. I like that one. So that's your fourth round pick. I'm putting numbers next to them too so we can keep track of where they were picked. That could be fun as well. I'm very pleased to draft a guy who I hated because he wasn't on my team, and my current brother in fatness, Keith Tkachuk.
Hey, there you go.
I always thought he would be a Hawk. I always thought they would find a way to bring him to Chicago.
He was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Every year there was a guy that had that rumor. Keith Kachuk or Brett Hall. Those were the two guys every year that the Hawks were going to get.
You have the all-time almost Hawks.
Yeah, you pretty much do.
Yep.
They're finally reunited in Chicago. About time.
Yeah. All right, back to me?
Yep.
Back to me.
Yep,
all
two from Mario.
All right, well, I have a current Blackhawks great on my team. I'm going to get a past Blackhawks great. Wasn't around for a long time, but a good time. And he's going to be the all-around defenseman that I need, the size that I need, big buff Dustin Bufflin.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Nice.
And he's going to be paired with the, I believe, if my history lessons are correct, the only American defenseman to win the Conn Smythe, Brian Leetch.
Oh, my God. How is Leetch still on the board?
Yes, Brian Leetch. He was, when I got into hockey back in the late 90s, early 2000s, one of the ways that I really got into the game was playing video games.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, playing with Brian Leetch in like the NHL 2000, 2001, like that was, I don't know why. Like I think it was because he wore number two. And back in the day when I would play sports, like number two was like my number. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll be, you know, I'll play with this guy. And then he was like super good. So I've always had a little, you know, background affinity for Brian Leetch. So he'll be paired with Dustin Bufflin.
Awesome all around defenseman. Duncan Keithy, you know, that he was just a great player for a long time.
Also wears number two.
Yes, there you go. All right, I'm going to, you know, I'm a little bit surprised that I'm doing this, but I've got Chelios. I might as well complete the pair and draft Gary Suter.
My guy.
Yeah. Gary Suter, and this, Greg, this could be a fun throwback topic. Forgotten Blackhawks.
Love Gary Suter.
Gary Suter was awesome. And
number 20.
There were years where him and Chris Chelios would finish number one and two on the Blackhawks in scoring, and that was more of a problem with the forwards than anything. But Chelios and Suter were a pair like Keith and Seabrook for a long time. Like that, you know, those two were awesome together. He is Ryan's uncle, not his dad, but his uncle. I remember. What's sad is I think he's most remembered for that hit he put on Paul Kariya, where he kind of cross-checked him. Suter was coming from behind the net. Kariya was coming to crash the net and cross-check Kariya in the face and really injured him. Mm-hmm. And it was ugly. It was a dirty play. But it's a shame that it's guys like this, right? These periphery, like really, really good for a long time, but not Hall of Famers that time sort of forgets. So I don't want to forget Gary Suter.
It's a good pick.
I loved Gary Suter. NHL 94, man. Him and Chelios. Speaking about video games, yeah, that was good stuff. All right, so I get two picks to close out my lineup here, I guess. So I'm going to finish my defense with a Hall of Famer, son of a legend, Mark Howe is who I'm going with to close out my defense. Son of Gordy.
All right.
Son of Gordy.
Son of Gordy, Mark Howe, longtime Flyer, closed out with the Red Wings, and then played a bunch in the WHA with his dad, too. So, long career. And I get to take the first goalie off the board. It's a lot of
first
pressure
goalie
here.
Off the board.
Boy, there's a...
Lots of guys.
It's a cavalcade of stars here.
There's not a lot of depth in American goaltending.
No.
Man, it's not great, Bob. There's like... Well, I'm going to go with Tom Barrasso. I'm a
all
big
right.
Tom Barrasso guy.
Tom Barrasso. All right.
You know, won a couple Stanley Cups. When you look at his numbers, his goals against, his save percentage, not fantastic, but you got to remember the era he played in.
Yes.
His numbers are actually better.
Goaltending was much different then.
Goaltending optional.
The nets were bigger. The goalies were smaller. There was no such thing as blue paint. You can kill people. But Tom Barrasso, better numbers than Grant Fuhr, who's in the Hall of Fame. Just didn't win quite as many cups, but he had two at Pittsburgh. So I'm going to take him. He had 369 wins and 777 game starts. So I'm going Tom Barrasso.
Pretty good.
All right.
Another guy that should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Boy, this is a tough one for me because I'm choosing between someone I really like and someone I know is better. I'm going to do it. And I'm I'm going to take Jonathan Quick.
Oh.
I think he's probably the best American goalie ever when it's all said and done. The numbers, the accolades, everything. 2.42 career goals against, 913 save percentage. Those are at or near the top of American-born goalies. So I will take Jonathan Quick.
All right.
All right, who's Mr. Irrelevant?
Mr. Irrelevant. And, you know, I'm tempted to go with a current player because...
Craig Anderson, who just signed a new deal with the Sabres?
Craig Anderson, former Blackhawk. No, I'm tempted to go with Connor Hellebuck, but I think I have to go with, you know, if they can't be traded for each other, at least they can play on the same team. So I'm gonna go with U.S. great silver medalist in 2010, Ryan Miller.
Oh, that's solid. All right, so let's recap the draft. We'll start with Mario's team. Well, I'll go 1 through 6 with the picks made. Patrick Kane, Joe Pavelski, Phil Kessel, Dustin Byfuglien, Brian Leetch, and Ryan Miller.
I feel like my team's going to have a good 4th of July party.
Oh, yes. I mean, hide your daughters, hide your wives. Yes, they're going to get after it.
Hide your hot dogs,
exactly. Yeah. I have Austin Matthews, Chris Chelios, Brett Hull, Keith Tkachuk, Gary Suter, and Jonathan Quick. And Greg has Mike Modano, Phil Housley, Joey Mullen, Johnny Gaudreau, Mark Howe, and Tom Barrasso. All right, I like all these teams. These teams.
USA, USA.
Right, do we, anyone have just a top of your heads? Who's the winner here? Who do we like the most?
I like my team, obviously. Yeah,
my team's on the floor.
I don't know. I always hate any draft I do. I immediately hate my team. So my team sucks.
Isn't that always how it goes?
I mean, Jay's team's pretty solid there. That's a pretty solid lineup.
It's just painful that JR wasn't taken.
Yeah, no JR. Ugh. No Mike Richter at goalie.
That's who I was deciding between with Quick.
We can all pick one healthy scratch.
I mean, this might be something that we need to expand and do a full roster because there's a lot of guys that didn't go. Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah.
Not drafted. Neil Broughton.
Screw him, North Star.
John LeClair, Eddie Olczyk. I mean, lots of really good players here.
Tony
we barely
Imani.
Scratched.
Yeah, I thought about Amonte. I did.
Alex
I really
DeBrincat.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, we barely scratched the current players. A lot of really good current American players that just didn't make the cut.
But... Next 4th of July, we'll do current American players draft.
There you go.
That's fun.
Players.
Put that on your. We'll put that on the calendar so we don't forget for next year.
All right.
Put it in Notion a year at a time.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so look on our social media for this. We're going to have a nice graphic published. I'm not sure when because it is a holiday weekend. We're not going to ask our producers to kill themselves, but hopefully we get a graphic up soon so you can vote on who won.
Well, Lawrence said that he's ready to go for it. So
sweet. I will send him the picks as soon as we wrap up the show, which we're doing right now. But first, we need to tell people what they need, Mario.
Yeah, you know, 4th of July weekend, it is a popular weekend for, you know, eating a lot of hot dogs and eating a lot of burgers, a lot of brats.
Yes.
You know, doing it all in the name of America. And when you get through digesting all of that, probably with the help of Athletic Greens. But when you get through digesting that, you want to kind of burn off those calories. You want to get back into your summer shape. What you're going to need to help you out with that, with recovery, with muscle building and everything, is some Owyn. O-W-Y-N stands for only what you need. Owyn is a 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you nutrition that works just as hard as you do. All of their products are free of artificial ingredients. They are allergen-friendly. They don't contain any gluten or dairy. They are easily digestible, and you may have heard about Owyn from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields. He follows a plant-based diet, and right now Owyn and CHGO are partnering up to give you an awesome offer. You can get 20% off of your first purchase at liveowyn.com when you use the code CHGO20. So join Justin Fields and myself. I've been trying to get into working out again. Using Owyn has been great. I try and cut out gluten and dairy as much as possible. And it's helping me with recovery between workouts, helping me feel good about myself. So get yourself some Owyn. Again, O-W-Y-N, only what you need.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. When we next speak on Tuesday, hopefully we'll have some news to go over. We're getting really close to the draft. I want to remind everybody, too, that we're going to be live during the first round of the draft, and we're going to be live during the second and third rounds of the draft. That is Thursday and Friday, and then Thursday night, we will do a full draft wrap-up show, so you're not going to be able to get rid of us. Then the week after that, we've got prospects camp and free agency. The next 2 weeks are going to be crazy in the world of hockey and the world of the Blackhawks, so make sure you stick with us. And again, if you missed our interview Thursday with Luke Richardson, go back and listen. It's phenomenal. I've listened to it at least three times since we've done it. I love it. I love hearing it. I like to recap what he did and all the mistakes I made so I can beat myself up over the course of 24 hours. But it was really, really great. So make sure you go listen to it and help us share it. If you see it floating out there, hit the retweet button for us. That's always very helpful. And the best thing you can do, too, aside from supporting our sponsors like PointsBet and Owen and Strava and Athletic Greens, is to subscribe to the podcast on your podcast app, or like and subscribe to the YouTube page and turn those notifications on so you know when new episodes drop. With every team doing five shows a week, it can be tough to keep up. Those notifications are very, very helpful for when episodes drop. So make sure you do us those solids. And if you'd like, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Also very, very helpful in growing podcasts. So with that, let's wrap things up. Happy 4th of July. Be safe. Do not blow your hand off, please.
Yes.
We need you to hit that subscribe button, and you can't do that without fingers. So please.
You need all your fingers to type out allchgo.com and to click become a member. So keep those fingers attached to your hands.
Absolutely. So for Greg and Mario, I'm Jay. Thanks for listening to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.